Praise the Lord this morning. I timed it just right, didn't I? Getting out of Sunday school, getting over here. Just love the Lord this morning. I hope, like I said, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. I can't keep from smiling. The Lord is blessed so much, and it's not just because of, but it is because of Jesus Christ. It's more than just a little lamb that was born. It's about who He is, our Lord of Lords. King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Just praise God. We have a job to do, and that's something the Lord has asked us all to do, and that's continue to spread His Word, to be that willing vessel. And as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I'm going to ask y'all as a praying church, and that we just lift up all those in our minds and hearts. If you think about someone this morning that's either sick and shut in, they're fearful, they're going through anxiety, whatever the situation is, I want you to, the sickness, those that are going through recovery, those that are watching on the line, if you have a prayer request, just text it in the comments. But we want to be praying this morning for a needy world right now. But we want to also be in prayer and thankful for what God has done in each of our lives. It is many, many blessings. So if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. If you have a praise report, let's just raise that other hand and let's just worship the Lord. Dear Lord, we just love and praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your many, many blessings, dear Lord, for this precious time of year that we celebrate, but dear Lord, for this continuous love that you give us. Dear Lord, you've always been there for us, dear Lord, and we just may we be just willing to accept what you have, and dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, as we open this service this morning, dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for those that are in attendance this morning. We pray for those that are traveling, those that aren't able to be with us, dear Lord, those that are sick and shut in. Lord, and we ask now, dear Lord, that you'll just touch each and every one. Lord, you see the hands that were raised. You know the depths of our hearts. And, dear Lord, we thank you for knowing these prayer requests, even before we speak them. But, my Lord, we just love and praise you. And, Lord, we thank you for all that's here, dear Lord, all that's over in the children's church, dear Lord, for all the activities, all the ministries that you've guided us through. And, dear Lord, as we continue now, dear Lord, may you strengthen and guide us, dear Lord. We ask you now to bless our pastor and his family. Strengthen them as they go forth about your work. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give them a second to put the song up on the screen, but it's going to be on page 212. Keep on the firing line. See some faces we hadn't seen in a while this morning. Praise God. Oh, Sitting, turn around and wave at your neighbor and just tell them how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. Love each and we love each and every one of you this morning and always. Praise God. With the love of Christ in our hearts, how can we not smile? How can we not let things just go the way it goes? Just praise God. Like I said, I see so many faces this morning that we hadn't seen in a while. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise God. Good to see you. And those of you like in watching online, we miss you. Wish you could be here with us this morning. Looking forward to that great time that we just start filling the church back up. But also for those that are watching that maybe they don't really know our church or know anything about us, just know that we love the Lord and that it's not about us, it's all about Him. We just praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. Praise the Lord. That's two willing young men here that are ready to help. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Jeff, you want to come on up here? Or you're going to sing right after us.
Man, he walked on the earth. was cursed, still he stood true and never faltered. And whenever he was tempted, he upheld his Father's word. And in his darkest hour, when others would have ran, he stayed to face the cross, this uncommon man. Touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him will find there's hope through the sacrifice of this uncommon man. With a touch of his hand, he can heal broken lives. Those who come to him, there's hope through the sacrifice. There's hope through the sacrifice. There's hope through the sacrifice of this uncommon man.
Shout amen. Amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
I usually don't have my kids with me. I'm gonna make them stand up and tell. No, I'm just but it's good to have my son Connor in the blue there on the end.
Amen.
And my daughter, now he lives in Statesboro. My daughter, she's at Georgia Southern, that's Caitlin. And this is her fiance who just completed basic training in the United States Army. Amen. Would you give them a God bless you? Amen. I would say I'm happy, but they may be going to Germany here for long, so that's a lot further than Statesboro, you know what I'm talking about?
A little bit.
We'll see what happens. But it's good to have them in the house of the Lord with me this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to sing and minister to you guys. I had another song on my heart, but I couldn't find the track to it. So as I just sit there, I prayed, and you know, especially during this time, a lot of people seem to face mountains in their lives, whatever that mountain may be, that giant. But you know, things look a lot different from heaven's point of view.
Amen.
Worship with me this morning. This song says, from heaven's point of view. Amen. Number 4.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
A mountain that I have no strength to climb. For the struggle of this journey's left me weak, both in body and in mind. Where I stand to the peak is a distance on my own I cannot reach. So this journey of 1,000 steps begins right here on my knees. Soon I'll soar like an eagle, high on wings of grace, far into the heavens, where I can almost see God's face.
Can you say amen?
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Beautiful song from heaven's point of view. Lord, give me eyes of faith to see what you would have me to see. Amen. Not necessarily what I want to see, but look at it from God's point of view. Beautiful, beautiful song. Great message. Amen. Good to have you here tonight, this morning rather. Let all of our visitors know how welcome they are and how much we love them. Amen. Praise God. Sister Jennifer, could you possibly do speak the word, Lord? Amen. How many loves to hear the word from the Lord? Amen. As sometimes it's not the word we want to hear, but it's God's word. And we must learn to be submissive and obedient, amen, to God's word.
Worship the Lord.
About to sing. Lord, I know if you just speak to me. been times that I've complained when life rubbed against the grain, and I recall those times you took me to my
servant will go. When he knows that we need to be obedient and submissive to the word of God. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more great hand clap of praise this morning. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. If it wasn't for God, would none of us be here this morning. But I'm so thankful, amen, that he smiled on us and loved us enough to give us another day. Amen. Together today, amen, in the house of the Lord to worship and glorify and praise his name. We certainly hope that you all had a glorious and blessed Christmas. Amen. And hope that you're looking forward to the leading of the Lord in the next, in the oncoming year. Amen. Let us lay aside every weight, every sin that does so easily beset us. Amen. And let us get ready to run the race, amen, that is set before us. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Proverbs in the third chapter. The writings here, I want to look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. The entire chapter is a blessing. Time would not permit for us to fully cover it all, but I do want to focus on verses number 5 and 6 this morning. I desire your prayers that God would just anoint these lips of clay this morning and let us bring forth or hear the message that God would have us to hear this morning. Again, reading from the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. And thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. Brother Chris, would you take us to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God's leading and guidance? Yes, Lord. Amen. God bless you. One more hand clap for Jesus, and you may be seated in the house of the Lord this morning. How many wants God to have his way? Come on, how many knows that it's not our way, but it's His way? Amen. Praise God, praise God. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Where He Leads Me, I Will Go. Where He Leads Me, I Will Go. Being a very small child raised in a Pentecostal home, where when the occasion arose, we had a baptism that particular hour. Many times we would go straight from the church house down to the little creek. Didn't have to be in the summertime. It didn't have to be in the spring. It could be with ice. In fact, I have seen my granddaddy break the ice in the little creek there and have a baptismal service. My dad had a little flat-top guitar that he would bring down to the creek side, and he would sing the song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. Being a small child, I thought that was the only song that you sang when they had a baptismal service. And in my mind, I thought it meant you followed the pastor. Wherever the pastor went, you followed him. If he went to the deep end, you went to the deep end. If he went through the mud, you went through the mud. Wherever the pastor led those that were going to be baptized, that was what I thought in my little mind, that that's what that particular song meant. Many years later, I found out that those that are following the pastor may be led astray. Those that are following man cannot always count on man's guidance and his wisdom. But how many knows those who follow God, wherever He takes us, whatever path He chooses for us to follow, it will be the right path. It won't always be the easiest. It won't always be the most pleasant, but it will in fact be the very best path that we could possibly go. God has been leading me and guiding me in this particular week about following Him, not just when it's convenient. Come on. Not just when it looks good. Not just when it suits my fancy, but to follow Him in all my ways. That my thoughts may be coincide with His thoughts. That my will be what His will would be in my life. I'm learning more and more. And how many knows and would be honest with me and say, I'm still learning the will of God. I'm still learning about how to trust in Him. I'm still learning how to be submissive and obedient unto Him. I have not ever profess that I'm at a point where I know everything that God wants me to do. I still find myself totally and absolutely dependent on Him every day of my life, in so much that I don't even want to make a decision. I don't even want to make a plan in my life. I don't even want to say I'm going on a trip unless I say, Lord, if it be Your will, because I don't know what's out there. I don't know what 2021 is going to bring. But I will assure you, as bad as 2020 has been, God has not allowed me to suffer. He has not turned His back on me. He will, in fact, be with me through the rest of this year and by faith that year that is to come. None of us here today knows what is on the horizon, but we know a God, amen, that knows everything there is about our life. One cannot make this statement lightly. It's what God checked me with this week. It's very easy. It's very appropriate for a Christian to say, Lord, wherever You want me to go, I'll go. Whatever You want me to do, I'll do. God, You just open the door and I'll go through it. When we make that statement, we are in fact making a covenant unto God. Well, Bible says it's better to never make a vow than to make a vow and break it. When we profess or when we confess that, Lord, I want You to be Lord of my life. And in being Lord of my life, then You will direct my paths. You will direct my steps. Lord, help me to be submissive. Help me to be obedient to Your will and not my will. Many, many times the Holy Ghost has checked me when I'm praying and praying that God will come to my will. That God will submit to what I desire. And I have to check myself, or the Holy Ghost does, and says, it's not your will that's so important. It is the will of God. And I want us to understand that as we get ready to close out this particular year, this chapter of our life. You know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me.
Amen. And I look to and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Church, it is time for us to look forward. Amen. It's time for us to quit moaning and groaning what has happened in the past. It's time for us to quit worrying and fretting. Amen. Because things didn't go exactly the way that we wanted them to. But how many of us have made a petition unto God and said, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want my life to measure up to. Whatever you have before me, whatever path you choose for me to travel, that is the one, God, that I want to be completely submissive to. God, I'm tired of trying to make the plans, God, for the betterment of my life. I want to put my faith and trust in a never-failing God. And I can assure you, He has never failed in the past, and He's not going to fail now. So if and when we make that statement, let us consider the gravity, let us consider the weight of that particular statement that we make unto the Lord. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I remember many times praying in the altar for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and said, Lord, if you'll just baptize me with the Holy Ghost, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I made promise after promise unto God. You know, many, many years after He filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He cashed in on one of those promises. Can I tell you, I wasn't really caught up in the Spirit at the particular time that He wanted to cash in on that particular promise that I made. You know, we're quick to say, oh Lord, I just got caught up. You know, I was just, I didn't really mean it. God doesn't understand that. He's not a promise breaker. One of the promises that I said, Lord, I'll go and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God began to weigh heavily on my heart. He began to call me and say, I want you to carry the Word of God. I want you to carry the Gospel. Oh boy, did I start backtracking then. I began to say, Lord, you know what? First thing I did, like many of us, I began to tell Him what I already was doing. Lord, I'm the youth leader at our little church. I make music and, you know, I sing every once in a while. And, Lord, I've taught some Sunday school classes. What else you want me to do? Come on, God is not, He's not impressed with what we've done. Amen. In fact, He knows exactly what we're capable of and what we have done. Amen. And He's not going to pat us on the back because absolutely we've done something. Amen. If we're just submissive and obedient. But He began to weigh heavily on my heart to preach the Word of God. And I cannot tell you that I readily accepted that. I'm ashamed to say. But I ran far from it for a couple of years. And it was after I had gotten married. I even discussed it with my wife. And I was hoping that she would say, ain't no way. But she didn't. She said, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And I said, what I'm looking for, really. Yeah. I need somebody to tell me, no, you just want to do that yourself. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I did never, ever, ever want to stand in the pulpit to preach the Word of God. It just wasn't in my DNA that I thought. But God kept calling me and kept calling me. And finally, after 2 years, and honestly, after 2 years, I could not run anymore. And I asked Him, you know, we get on to Gideon sometime for being a doubter and Thomas for being a doubter. And when we look in the mirror, we're just as doubtful as they are. And when I asked God to give me a sign, you know, and later on I preached, you know, signs are for the unbelievers. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was raised in church. I shouldn't have been an unbeliever. I should have been stepped out on the Word of God, but I didn't because I'm human. I said, God, if you'll just give me a sign. And things would happen, and I said, man, what a coincidence that was. You know, that is amazing. But God, I need a real sign. I need an earthquake and a house shaking. I need to know without a shadow of a doubt, you know. Just like Gideon, you know, let the dew be around the fleece and it be dry. And wow, it did. And then he reversed it and God did both of them. And I said, Lord, I need you to give me a sign. Kevin at this particular time was having great difficulty sleeping at night. He'd been in and out of the hospital a number of times, a lot of procedures. And he'd gotten his days and nights mixed up. And he would doze during the day. And at night he would go into this crying mode. And And Penny and I tried everything. I remember getting up at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and putting him in the car and riding him around to try to get him to be quiet. We rocked him. Mom and Dad would come up and help us, and you know, take turns rocking him, and he would be just as still as long as we was rocking him. And then you go to lay him down, and the big brown eyes would pop open, and he'd look at you. And as soon as you tried to close the door, he'd start again. And this went on night after night after night, and it was so, I don't know, just it just drained us. Drained Penny and I. We was both working, couldn't get enough sleep, and then him crying all night. And so somebody told Penny, just lay him down, cut out all the lights. We had to put blinds. Everything had to be completely dark. Just lay him down in his bed and let him cry. He's going to cry whether you towed him or rock him or whatever. Just let him lay there. Well, it didn't work. He cried and he cried and he cried and he cried, you know. So one night, I was laying in bed, and he had started that crying, and I said, Lord, you know, am I missing something here? Are you letting this, you know, trying to get my attention over this? And I tell you what, Lord, I didn't tell him this, but I thought this. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't even think you can do. If it be your will for me to preach the word, I want you to make Kevin stop crying right now. Not in the next 2 or 3 minutes, not in the next night, but right now. And I didn't even get the prayer out of my lips, and I heard total silence. Total silence. This had been going on for months and months and months. I raised up out of the bed. I listened toward Kevin's room. I wanted a whimper. I wanted a total and absolute silence. I get up out of the bed, Brother Jim. I walk down the hall. I put my ear to Kevin's door, praying for just one little whine. I walk in. I go over. I put my ear on his chest to see if he's breathing. He was breathing. And he didn't cry the rest of that night. Chills went absolutely over me. Finally, God got my attention. I knew that that had to be the hand of God. We had tried everything in the world. I got back down and I cried unto the Lord. And I said, Lord, you've convinced me. Lord, I'm afraid of running. I'm tired of running, Lord. And I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And I'm ashamed of myself that I didn't answer the calling first. Maybe I could have been through with all of those months of terrorizing tears and crying that Kevin had to go through. But God, I succumbed to your will. Thank God that somehow He made a way, and the rest, you know, I said, Lord, I absolutely don't know why, but if you want me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I said that to say this, that we must desire the direction of God, even when it goes against our desires, even when we don't want to do it. Even when we don't feel like we're qualified to do it, we must adhere to God's call. The writer here lists three keys for total submission to God's will. I would venture to say if we're not totally submitted to God's will, then we're not submitted at all. I don't think you can be partly committed to God's will, because that leaves too much of our own desires to be in the way. We read the scripture all the time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add these other things. How many knows that to be a true statement of God? How many can give me a testimony that if we put God first, completely first, He'll make a way for everything else in our life? Amen. God just wants to be at the top, and He wants us to put Him at the top of our desires. And the writer here lists three things. First of all, he says, trust Him with all your heart. That means trust Him in every facet of your life. Trust Him for your very existence. Trust Him, amen, for your spiritual salvation. How many is thankful that we can't get to heaven on our goodness? We can't get to heaven on our church attendance alone. We could put $1 million in the offering plate, and that alone would not buy us salvation. But how many knows we have to trust in the plan of God through His Son, who died on the cross of Calvary, who shed His blood freely for you and me, and that we might be born again, and we must trust His salvation, even when Satan comes and says, "You don't have anything. You're not born again. God doesn't love you." All of that is lies from the pit of hell. Amen. Amen. We must trust God, trust His Word, trust His will, and trust the plan of salvation that He, in fact, has laid in order. Secondly, He says, lean not on your own understanding. I don't know if you've ever made this statement, but apologetically and repentively, I say, I have. God, I don't understand why you're doing this. Now, maybe none of you have ever made that statement. Maybe you've never thought it. But it has, in fact, crossed my mind. And I even take it further. I've even said that, Lord, why? I don't understand what you're doing. You know what? I don't have to. If I fully trust Him with all of my heart, He doesn't have to lay down a script. He doesn't have to lay down a plan and say, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm just asking you to trust me. I'm asking you to put your faith, undying faith in me, and what I am going to do in your life will benefit you. It will be a blessing. You can't see it. All you see is gloom and doom. But I'm assuring you that if you trust in me, if you will fully put your faith in me, I will be a door for you. I will make a way where there seemeth no way. Amen. I will be with you and lead and guide you. How many is thankful for God's promise that He won't ever leave us nor forsake us? Thirdly, and we don't always understand that, amen, because we have finite minds. God says His ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours. Amen. So I don't want to change that statement of, God, I don't understand. It doesn't matter. God, I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you because I know your will, amen, overrides my will. Thirdly, He says, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him in everything you do, in everything that you've been able to accomplish, and all that you've been able to amass, whether it be material things, whatever they are, give God the glory. There is not a one of us that can do anything without the breath of God. You could not even get up this morning had it not been for God, for His strength, for His love, and for the very breath that we breathe. This is what is so hard to understand sometimes. We can't really comprehend the majesty and the greatness of God's grace and His love. Because He, in fact, allows the agnostic, the unbeliever, those that profess no God whatsoever, He allows them the breath to even make such a statement. And how many knows, because of His grace, if they would come to Him with a contrite, broken, and repentant spirit, God would save them. Aren't you glad? Amen, that God saved you in spite of yourself, in spite of where you came from, in spite of what you was involved in this world. I'm not proud of the fact that I was that way, but I'm very proud of the fact that He called me and He brought me to an altar of repentance and He picked me up out of the miry clay and He established my goings on a solid rock and He put back the pieces in my life. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways. Never fail to give God the glory. If God has blessed you with a talent, give God the glory. If God has blessed you with a ministry, give God the glory. Amen. If God has blessed you with a good job, a good family, a wonderful wife, a wonderful husband, give God the glory. Because there's so many instances in the world today that they're not that blessed. We are very blessed. Oh, I wish that we as a church could understand if we'd spend more time praising God than we do blaming God. Amen. how better this walk would be. Church, we're supposed to be the ones that are happy. We're supposed to be the ones that are living in hope. Amen. And if the world sees the church with a negative attitude, if the world sees the church is a poor, pitiful me, what kind of testimony, what kind of light is that to the unbeliever? Man, in all our ways, acknowledge Him. And the writer says, if we do that, He shall direct your paths. Is this what we really want? He shall direct your paths. Our kids have gone out of town, and we're dog sitting this week. We have a beautiful little grand dog. And Penny evidently thinks that this little dog can only understand high-pitched talking. She has a different voice when she speaks to me, but when she speaks to this little dog, it's high-pitched. And I reckon the dog likes it because it's this way. But we have to put this little dog on a leash and take it outside. Because we're in mixed company, that's all the information you're going to get. But when we take this dog outside, and sometimes this leash, and it's one of those that goes to a certain extent, it limits it, and then it stops. And then when the dog does its business, it's time to go back in. Sometimes the dog doesn't want to go. So you try talking. Talking doesn't work. Try the high-pitched voice. I can't do it like Nana. Come on, Scarlett, you got to go back in the house. That doesn't work. So you pull. What you are in doing, in fact, is trying to direct that little dog's path. And the little dog doesn't understand. It wants to do its own thing. It wants to go out and smell every bush that's in the yard and run around in circles and do all that stuff. But you know it needs to go back in the house. Because I didn't bring my coat and I didn't bring my hat and it's cold out here. I'm going to go back in the house. I know what's best for that dog, but the dog doesn't. And I thought, how many times am I? No, God, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. Come on. But if we incorporate these other things into our life, He will direct our paths. God, this looks like a better choice for me. That's not the right way. But God, if I make this decision, then I think this is exactly what I've been hoping for, wishing for all of my life. But God says, no, that's not the path that you need to go. You can't see what's at the end of the road. You can't see where that path leads you. Trust me. Let me guide you. Let me lead you where you will be blessed. Amen. Where it will benefit you and I will get honor and glory. Finally, I'll go, but I don't want to. Because God has had to gently tug on my leash before to get me to go where He would have me to go. And this week I'm saying, God, I don't want to do that. All I want you to do is point the way, and I want to follow you by faith. Wherever you lead me, whatever your desire for me in this life will be, I want to be submissive and obedient. Where He leads me may be unpleasant. You Bible readers know that many of the great patriarchs, where God led them, were some unpleasant circumstances. But when obeyed, there was blessings, there was miracles, there was victories. But the path may be unpleasant. I revert back to what the old grandpa in the coveralls and the overalls said, told his niece. She was talking about things in this life, and he said, honey, we were not put here to live. We were put here to prepare to live. How many can relate to that? How many knows, amen, that all of this is going to pass away? But what God has prepared for us, where Jesus Christ himself has gone and said, I prepare a place that where I am. You know, a lot of people worry about what heaven's going to look like. I'm only thankful it's going to be where Jesus is. It doesn't matter. The streets of gold, amen, the walls of jasper, all of that is great, but I'm going to be where Jesus is forever. Forever, for an eternity. That's how much that the Lord loves us. Thank God for that. But sometimes the path is unpleasant. Sometimes the way that God chooses is not the most appealing way in our life. But I've learned, especially this week, that we have to be submissive to God's will, even when it goes against the flesh. It may be challenging. Life is challenging. It's very challenging. I'm a little bit concerned that we, our generation, have made it just a little bit too lucrative and easy for the generation following us, for our children and our grandchildren. And I know we want to do the very best we can for them. And we want to give to them. The mindset is, I do not want them to have it as hard as I did. But you know what? Life is challenging. And if everything is handed to that generation, what's going to happen when this generation is gone? And they must, in fact, fend for themselves. And first of all, and most importantly, our generation has got to let the next generation know that regardless of where your status is in this life, you need to seek God first and foremost over everything else. He will then supply your need. And I think we're missing that as a whole. I think we've failed our generation coming up in teaching them and guiding them, because sometimes the hard knocks, this is what causes us to be prepared for those things. Many of those patriarchs that I told you about, it was tough, it was challenging, but it was not impossible. Because what is impossible with man is made possible by God. It may, in fact, demand sacrifice. Sacrifice. Somebody once told me, if you hadn't give till it hurt, you hadn't sacrificed. Did I tell you about the little boy that walked to Sunday school? I probably did, because it had such an impact on my life. His mom, this is how long ago it was. His mom gave him two nickels. One nickel was to go in the offering. The other nickel was to buy him a little ice cream cone on the way home. This generation said, ice cream cone for a nickel? Are you kidding me? $5 where I go. Cold Stone, Baskin Robbins. Bear with me on my story. So he's going down there, the block and a half to church, and like little boys do, he's flipping his coin and catching it, flipping his coin and catching it. And he walks in the street and he flips it and he misses it, and it rolls down the sidewalk and it rolls into the storm drain. And he gets down on his hands and knees and he tries to reach it and he can't do it because his arm's not long enough. The nickel's there, he can see it. And he says, Lord, you need to help me get your nickel out of this storm drain. He hasn't sacrificed. And sometimes it's not all about money. It's not all about finances. Sometimes we haven't sacrificed enough prayer time. We haven't sacrificed enough of the Word of God. It's too much spent on our desires and our will. It may demand sacrifice. The fourth one I contemplated, and it really kind of hit me, so I put it down. Where he leads me may require a change of lifestyle. Many of the world today want to be saved, want to be a part of the family of God, but they don't want to give up their lifestyle. I'm not necessarily talking about our way of life. I'm talking about our lifestyle. Things that we think we just absolutely can't get along without. Let me tell you the danger of that. Because the things that we think we can't get along without become in a godly position. Can I tell you the thing that I can't get along without is the Spirit of God. That's the one thing that I must have.
I believe if we have a true relationship with God, God will supply the other needs. God will supply our food. He will supply our sustenance. He will supply that shelter above us as long as we put Him first. David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. If we put God first, God will meet the needs. But it may in fact require a change of lifestyle. Man, a desire to worship God. A desire to be about God's business. A desire to pray. A desire to seek and help the lost. We ought to be a shining light so that others could see the Spirit of God dwelling within us. So that they most likely would come to an altar of repentance and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life. But if obeyed, it will bring forth and produce a blessing in our life. How many people like to be blessed? I don't believe I've run into a person ever who doesn't like being blessed. But Lord, I don't know about all these other things. If you'll put God first, if you'll do the things that God has required for us to do, if you'll simply follow Him, He's not asking a lot. Just be devoted unto Him and follow Him in all your ways. And it will, in fact, produce a blessing. God spoke to Abram, who was known as the friend of God. He said, Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And if you read the story, God didn't ask Abraham what he thought about this move. He didn't say, what do you think about this? Or, if you want to, he said, get thee out. Get this out of your comfort zone. Get thee out of what you've been accustomed to, what you feel comfortable in doing, and go, and I will take you to a place that you don't even know. God, do they have good recreation there? Do they have high-level schools there? Do they have good street? No. I'm not telling you where I'm taking you. Whew. You still want to follow God? If you put your faith and trust in God, I will assure you, He's leading you to where you need to be. Amen. Abram, get thee out. And He's only going to bless you, and your seed is going to come a multitude as the sands of the sea. They're too numerous to even count. And Abraham followed him. Abraham obeyed. Thank God. Do we have that mindset? Do we have that faith? I want to leave you with a very familiar passage of Scripture. One that's read so many times. In fact, we probably, most of us can quote it, or if we're not, we at least can relate to it when it's read. And that's the 23rd Psalm. But the 23rd Psalm, in all of its comfort, in all of its blessing, in all of its promise, there is still a call for sacrifice. And there is still a call for faithfulness. And there's still a call to be led where He leads us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sounds wonderful. Sounds good, doesn't it? Upon closer look and reference to that particular phrase, which came from the shepherds of that particular time, if you notice that many, many times God relates to the shepherds, even at the birth of Jesus Christ. The shepherds were the first to come. They were the ones to see the angels sing. They were the ones to hear the news that a Savior is born. Many of the verbiage, many of the words that are used by a shepherd are also analytically placed in the Bible to let us know that the Lord is our shepherd and we are the sheep. And as sheep, we are to follow the shepherd, insomuch that we know His voice.
You need to know the voice of God. Do not listen to the voice of Satan, but adhere and listen to the voice of God. And reference tells us that this phrase was used by many shepherds that were leading their sheep to better pasture. Now, the most direct route and the shortest route was over and through the mountainous region. But through over the mountainous region, there was peril. There was possibility for the sheep to fall. There was predators that were there in and around this mountainous area. So the shepherds used this phrase to go around a path, a right path, to bypass the peril, even though it's a shortcut, even though it's closer, and to go around a well-used path where other sheep had gone before. Many times they said it was actually even a trail or even ruts that had been traveled so many times. And sometimes it would zig and it would zag. You ever said, "Lord, why are you taking me this way?" Because there's peril over here. "Lord, it doesn't look like we're making any progress." But we're sidestepping all of the pitfalls and the stepping stones and all of those things. Just follow me. If you've ever looked on a map where the children of Israel were brought out of Egyptian bondage, it was not as the crow flies. It was not a straight line. They were here, there, and everywhere. Kind of symbolic of our life. Sometimes we take one step forward and three steps back. Say, "Lord, forgive me." And we keep going. Amen. Thank God for that. But this was the path of rightness. This was the path of righteousness. And the writer says that God speaks to us and says, "I will take you in the path of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Only if I follow where He leads me. Are we prepared not only to make that statement, but be submissive to that statement? Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. There may be one here today that maybe has strayed a little. Maybe you had every good intention of being led by the Spirit of the Lord, but it didn't really coincide with what your will was, and maybe you kind of ventured out on your own, and things may begin to mess up, and life doesn't seem to be as good as you was hoping it would be. This would be the time to follow the paths of righteousness. This would be the time to listen to the shepherd's voice. And if He's calling you to a closer walk, if He's calling you to bless you with a ministry or a talent or an anointing, or just to refresh that spirit that you have allowed to grow cold in your life, this would be the day to come to this altar and ask the Lord, "Lord, I want to be led by Your Spirit. God, I don't want to venture out on my own. I don't want to make a decision without I ask You first." Is there one today, while every head is bowed and every eye closed? I won't tarry long, because if God can't get you to come, the preacher would never be able to. But if that Spirit of God is drawing you, I would urge you to find a place, find an altar. It doesn't necessarily have to be here, but somewhere that you can have a point of contact with the Holy Ghost and let God lead you and guide you. While every head is still bowed, every eye closed, if you have a prayer need or a prayer request, just lift your hand. This pastor will see it, and this pastor will be praying this week. May God bless you. Have a glorious and blessed day. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we stand this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Powerful, powerful message. Love each and every one of you. So glad you were able to spend this morning with us. Those of you watching live, love you also. Again, if you have a prayer request, please just place it in the comments and we'll gladly pray for you. Yes, ma'am.
When I received that, I can't tell you how it touched me. And my simple reply to her was, God is good. And I just want to thank Him for everybody that helped.
Amen.
Thank you.
God is wonderful. He is great. He always provides. Yes. Amen. Amen. We also have, while you're here this morning, we want to continue to praise the Lord, but we have a special, also something very special to do this morning. So if you would like to go ahead and be seated, we'll go ahead and turn it back over to Brother Eddie.
They tell me there's two things that happens when you start to get old. The number one thing is you start to forget things. And I can't remember what the second one is, but I forget things. We're so happy today to be able to stand and for the dedication of this precious little child, amen, of Wesley and Sierra. So we're going to ask them to come forward this morning as we dedicate this precious little child to the Lord.
Amen.
All dressed up in their little dedication gown. Give them a hand. You know, the Bible says that Hannah bare a son and called his name Samuel, and she brought him unto the Lord in Shiloh to Eli the priest and said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Therefore I have granted him to the Lord as long as he liveth." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of the words fall to the ground. In the New Testament we read concerning the infant Christ, that when 8 days were fulfilled, they called his name Jesus. And they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And he received him into his arms and blessed God, and said, "Now let thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And his father and his mother were marveling at the things which were spoken concerning him. And the child Jesus grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and with the grace of God was upon him. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And the Lord said, "I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. These words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, and thou shalt teach them unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Friends, this is a happy and significant occasion which brings us together. Just like Mary and Hannah of old, these parents have brought their child to the temple today to present her to the Lord. You have her, right? Just want to make sure. Okay. "You have heard the invitation of the Master to suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It is fitting that you should bring your child while the spell of her advent is still upon you. The mystery and wonder of this new life have brought you to stand reverently and thoughtfully before the Father of all, and have given you a new and compelling message of the dignity of life and of the obligation of parenthood. And I do not speak that lightly. The purpose of this service is to help you as parents to appreciate your obligation, so to train your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when she comes to an age of responsibility, she will most naturally turn from the wrong into the right and accept Jesus Christ as her Savior and Master. I believe that God has a purpose for this child's life, and to find that purpose and to live it out fully will mean success. To refuse or ignore it will mean failure, no matter how much worldly acclaim may come. It is your privilege, Mom and Dad, and duty to guide your child in such a way as to make the will of God the greatest ambition in her life.
to this task, you are called to consecrate yourselves today, and to this end you dedicate your child to God. In accordance with the purpose for which you have come, will you now respond to the following covenant? Parents, do you present your child before God in solemn dedication? Do you consecrate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct her in the teachings of Jesus Christ and in the practice of prayer, and to guide her in the development of a Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability so to shape the home life of your child, both by family devotions and by your words and by your example, that she will at the proper age most naturally come to an open confession of Christ and into the fellowship of the service of the church? Inasmuch as you have promised before God and this people to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of rearing her for God, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom, patience, and devotion. And to this end, may the blessing of God rest upon you. Now I get to hold Rylan.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come today to dedicate this precious little child, God, we do so in asking you to bless with Wesley and Sierra, to give them wisdom and knowledge and patience and guidance for this child. Father, we pray your anointing upon Riley's body right now to lead her and guide her, God, as she goes into adulthood. I pray, God, that you would be the most important factor in her life, that you would bring her to an open confession of Christ, that you would lead her and guide her to help her have success in this life. Again, we thank you for this family. We thank you for the love that we feel right now as we dedicate her to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, she just stole the show, didn't she? Y'all want a picture? Y'all want to stand out here? We'll take a picture. We've got questions.
Not even a whimper.
That was great.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. And again, if y'all would, let's just stand if you can. We're going to prepare to dismiss. But as the scripture was read during this dedication, I think about it many, many times, especially as we've just celebrated the Sunday school teachers and all the activities that go in our church. We as a church are as involved with these children as anyone. And we just want to support the families and support these children, keep each and every one of them in our prayers, and be an example that the kids can look up to, because they're going to learn as much about the Lord as they grow up in these younger years. You're going to be surprised how much they pick up and they get it from us. So we just want to let y'all know how much we love you. All the little ones we love, we see them scattered through the chapel this morning. But we just love each and every one of you too. I want to ask you to have a special day. We'll have service tonight. Just please be with us if you can, and just love each and every one of you. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Dear Lord, for allowing us just to gather together in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart now, we ask for your protection. We thank you for answering prayers. Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you as we see this little child that was dedicated, Lord, to all the little children, Lord, that are growing up in this world today. May they grow up to know you. And as we as parents and adults and elders, dear Lord, may we set an example where you just guide us as you have already in life. And Lord, we just put it all in your hands. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Have a blessed afternoon. See y'all this evening.